Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Kelly Sue Ackernight was born to be a mother. That's what many people who knew her would tell you. Kelly Sue Kilcullen married Jason Ackernight in 1999, and their little girl was born shortly after. Motherhood was Kelly Sue's priority, and as her daughter grew up, she was very active with the PTA, taking her daughter to cheerleading and attending all of the school events. Even when her marriage became troubled, her daughter remained her number one priority. In 2008, Kelly Sue was also the breadwinner of the family. She worked at a local Rite Aid store in Amsterdam, New York, just a 15-minute drive from their home in Johnstown, New York. Jason was working as a volunteer firefighter for the local fire department. The night of September 30th, 2008, Kelly Sue left work around 9:45 p.m. She walked to her car, waved goodbye to a coworker, and watched her coworker drive away. It was believed that Kelly Sue was going to be heading home. Around 1:53 a.m., a patrol officer in Johnstown, New York, came upon a car fire. After local firefighters put the fire out, they recognized the car as belonging to one of their fellow firefighters, Jason Ackernight. They woke Jason up at home and learned that it was his wife's car. They soon discovered that Kelly Sue had not come home from work that night. In fact, Kelly Sue was nowhere to be found. Where is Kelly Sue Ackernight? Podcast is solely produced with the intention of spreading awareness. Facts are verified through public records, police reports, media coverage, and occasionally family or friends of the missing. Any negative comments blaming or shaming the victim or their families may be deleted. This is an independent production. There is no fancy editing and therefore may not be the production some are looking for. Just remember, it takes one person to share information to the right person, and a cold case just might get solved. Kelly Sue Kilcullen was born December 16, 1972, to parents Joyce and James Kilcullen. She was raised in a close-knit family in upstate New York. Kelly Sue graduated from Fonda High School in 1992. In 1999, Kelly Sue married Jason Ackernight, and shortly after, they welcomed a baby girl to their family. Now, we don't have a lot of personal information regarding Kelly Sue, such as her hobbies, her personality, but what we do know is that she was an extremely loving and doting mother. Everyone who has come forward to speak about Kelly Sue always mentions that being a mother was the pride and joy in her life. She always talked about her daughter and was so in love and so proud of her little girl. This showed through in her actions as well. Kelly Sue was very active in the PTA and in her daughter's cheerleading. Unfortunately, money was tight for the Ackernights, and Kelly Sue worked long hours as a supervisor at a local Rite Aid store. Kelly Sue was the main breadwinner for the family and was known to be a hard worker. In September of 2008, Kelly Sue was the only one supporting the family at the time. Jason was working as a volunteer firefighter for the local department in Johnstown, New York, where the family was living. They were living with Jason's parents at that time. The disappearance. On September 30th, 2008, Kelly Sue left for work that day as usual, leaving her 8-year-old daughter and her husband at home. Kelly Sue worked as a supervisor at the Rite Aid store in Amsterdam, New York, which was about a 15-minute drive from their home in Johnstown. Kelly Sue would be closing the store that night. Around 9:35 p.m., after closing, Kelly Sue and her coworker locked up the store and headed to their cars. The coworkers said goodbye to Kelly Sue and got into their car and drove off. It was believed that Kelly Sue was going to be doing the same. While nothing seemed too unusual at the time, the coworker would later say that Kelly Sue did seem to be hesitating to get into her car, as if maybe she was waiting for someone. It's also important to note, and maybe important later, that Kelly Sue's car had been overheating a lot lately and was requiring constant daily maintenance to keep it going. A few hours later, in Johnstown, New York, a patrol officer came upon a car on fire, parked on the side of a local street. The area the car was parked in was known to locals as Frog Hollow. He called in the fire, and local firefighters quickly responded and extinguished the fire. The car was destroyed, but in one section, they noticed a firefighter sticker. They were also able to recover the license plate, and with that information, they identified the car as belonging to Jason and Kelly Sue Ackernite. There were no remains found in the car, and there were no personal effects either, such as a purse or a phone. Two officers drove over to the Ackernite home, which was just about four blocks away, and knocked on the door. It was Jason's father who answered the door and then went to go wake up his son. It was quickly learned that the car that night was being driven by Kelly Sue and that she never returned home from work. It seemed that Kelly Sue Ackernite had vanished into the night. The search and investigation. Now, right off the bat, Jason wasn't too worried, and he told the authorities that she was probably with another man. He also said that Kelly Sue had had several affairs during their marriage, and their marriage was troubled. This was the most likely scenario to him. He also told them about the car maintenance issues and the overheating problem, and since there were no signs of foul play or arson that they had discovered at the fire, authorities believed the car likely had just overheated and caught fire on its own. The police chief also said the car was uninsured at the time, but Kelly Sue and Jason were still making payments on the car. This helped further their belief that the fire must have been accidental, or at least not intentionally set by Kelly Sue or Jason. Detectives did uncover something else that seemed suspicious. Around midnight on September 30th, just 2.5 hours now after Kelly Sue left work, and about 2 hours before her car would be found on fire, some neighbors in the Frog Hollow area called the police to report hearing gunfire. The source of that gunfire was never confirmed. Shortly after Kelly Sue's disappearance, a search of that area was conducted. The area near where the car was found is residential, but right nearby is a rail line hiking path. During the first day of the search, a pair of tan khaki pants was found. And at first, they were believed to be Kelly Sue's. It looked just like the pants she had worn to work. But why were Kelly Sue's pants on the hiking path? Had she left her car burning on the side of the road and escaped Johnstown altogether? But it was quickly determined that those pants did not belong to Kelly Sue. The 3-mile-long creek bed that runs right along the Frog Hollow area was also searched. Now, this creek isn't that deep. Officers were able to wade through the entire creek from start to finish. They also brought in cadaver dogs and even utilized air searches, but they still found no clues or no sign of Kelly Sue. In 2008, Kelly Sue and Jason both were using prepaid cell phones. Kelly Sue's phone had previously run out of minutes sometime earlier that day, and therefore it hadn't been used recently. Detectives said that both prepaid phones could offer no help to law enforcement. And while in today's world it always seems suspicious when people are using prepaid phones, in 2008 this was fairly common for many people. Another unfortunate point in Kelly Sue's case is that at the time she vanished, the store was undergoing some remodeling, and because of this, their camera security system was not working. In 2008, the city didn't have any street cams yet either. Later on in an interview, the police chief said that today, Johnstown has 26 working cameras, and in 2008, they had zero. Of course, as in many cases, the husband, Jason, is often the one to receive the most criticism in this case. But authorities have stated that he is not a suspect, even though they have also said no one can technically be ruled out either. Many friends of Kelly Sue's and many people who knew her through work and through the school said they had suspicions regarding Jason. Some people were aware of some marital problems the two were having, and others pointed out Jason's strange behavior afterward. For example, he was overheard at a school event saying something to the effect of, quote, "I hope they don't find my wife. I have a girlfriend now," end quote. Another person said she heard Jason say that he, quote, "needed a new mom for his daughter," end quote. All this was overheard shortly after Kelly Sue disappeared and had the small town of Johnstown, New York, talking. Aside from small town rumor, there was no evidence pointing to Jason as being involved. In fact, there was just very little evidence at all. There would be leads that would come in from all over the state of New York. Law enforcement said they have followed up on each and every one. These leads would include sightings of Kelly Sue, people who swore they saw Kelly Sue living in an off-grid camp or living in a nearby city. But none of these sightings were confirmed. Many were the case of mistaken identity. Israel Keys. I do want to include this short little chapter blurb on Israel Keys in relation to Kelly Sue's case. First, Israel Keys was an American serial killer, burglar, arsonist, and bank robber who authorities believe murdered multiple people across the entire U.S. between 2001 and 2012. He confessed to 11 murders before he would take his own life in prison. Because of his movements across the United States and his random selection of victims, authorities have always wondered if he was responsible for more murders. In fact, they're pretty sure that he was, but identifying them would prove to be difficult. Now, in the case of Kelly Sue, Israel Keys is often mentioned because he spent time in New York and in the New England area. So a timeline of his movements was created by detectives, beginning on the West Coast in 2001, moving from the state of Washington to Alaska, then all the way across the country over to Vermont by 2009, and to New York in 2011. But could he have been in New York in 2008? Well, authorities wondered that too, but a deeper dive into his movements and whereabouts would confirm that he could not have been responsible for Kelly Sue's disappearance, and he was not in New York or even on the East Coast at that time. January 2025, search warrant. Searches continued for Kelly Sue. Leads kept coming in, and the case never really went cold, not officially, at least according to law enforcement. But to the shock of so many following this case, 16 years after Kelly Sue vanished, a search warrant was executed on a local apartment in Johnstown in regards to Kelly Sue's case. This was big news and took the community by storm. Was this finally going to be the big break in the case? Was Kelly Sue's daughter, now an adult, going to finally have answers? Detectives spent the day of January 8th, 2025, searching an apartment in a house just down the street from where Kelly Sue lived when she disappeared. Law enforcement has only said that a person of interest lived in that apartment back in September of 2008 at the time Kelly Sue vanished. This person has not been publicly named, but detectives said that the person's phone number was found to have been in contact with Kelly Sue's phone number the day she vanished. Now, I found this especially interesting because law enforcement initially discounted the importance of Kelly Sue's phone records because she had a prepaid phone. But it turns out they were able to gain some leads from it after all. During this search on January 8th, the inside and outside of the building were searched. Authorities have not made any public statements regarding what they may have found during the search, if anything. Some media reports came out and said that nothing was found, and others have just stated that police are not commenting. So truly, we don't know what may or may not have come from this search, but it certainly gives us hope that the case is still being actively worked on, even all of these years later. Johnstown, New York, and Amsterdam, New York. Johnstown, New York is a small city in Fulton County, located in the Mohawk Valley region of upstate New York. The population sits around 8,000 residents. Surrounded by rolling hills and close to the Adirondack Mountains, Johnstown also offers access to a variety of outdoor recreation. There are so many lakes and ponds and rivers in the area, and there's several just within a 10-mile radius of the city. Crime rates are historically low in this region as the area is known to be family-friendly, a very quiet, small town. I did find it interesting that Johnstown has one other open missing person case. Iva Foss was a 54-year-old woman from Rumney, New Hampshire, who mysteriously vanished on November 20th, 1960. According to reports, she left her home that day under unclear circumstances and just never returned. Her car was later discovered abandoned on a side street in Johnstown, New York, pretty far from where she lived in New Hampshire, raising questions of how and why she ended up there. Despite searches and investigations at the time, little evidence surfaced to explain her disappearance, and there were no confirmed sightings of her since. There is an unconfirmed report or rumor, however you want to look at it, that she did go to Johnstown, New York that day to see an ex-boyfriend, and it was his current wife who shot and killed her, dumping her body somewhere. But the case remains unsolved. This was 48 years before Kelly Sue's case, so you can see this isn't something that happens very often in this area. Amsterdam, New York is about 10 miles southeast of Johnstown, New York. Kelly Sue worked in Amsterdam and was actually last seen in Amsterdam getting into her car at that Rite Aid store. Her drive home should have taken her 15 minutes. While we don't know what happened to Kelly Sue after leaving the store, we know that at least her car made it back to Johnstown. But then, where is Kelly Sue? Theories and possibilities. Kelly Sue has been missing now for many years, and there have been so many theories in her case, but let's talk about the two main ones. Number one, Kelly Sue ran away to start over. Did she plan this? Was this spontaneous? At least one man did come forward once to say that she did plan it, and he had overheard her talking about this at work. This was not confirmed, however, and every possible sighting of Kelly Sue was followed up on, and they were all determined to be a case of mistaken identity. Everyone else who knew Kelly Sue personally have all said there was absolutely no way she would have left her daughter behind. Theory number two, Kelly Sue ran into foul play. Did Kelly Sue run into foul play after leaving work? Did this involve the person of interest whose former building was searched in January of 2025? Or was this someone else close to her? Was the car burned to cover up evidence? Or was it truly an accident? But then, where is she and why hasn't she been found yet? If she was the victim of foul play, someone hid her somewhere. What I do find odd in Kelly Sue's story is the Johnstown police chief has said that they don't suspect arson as a cause of her car fire because the car had been having radiator problems. So to them, the car spontaneously catching fire at 2 a.m. seemed logical. Now, I'm definitely no car expert, but that seems to be quite a coincidence, no? The car randomly burst into flames and was found at 1:53 in the morning, and the person who was known to be driving that car had disappeared? So let's say Kelly Sue had car trouble and broke down. Wouldn't she just get out and walk home? She was only a few blocks away. And if that had happened, did someone pick her up instead? They abduct her and then the car just randomly bursts into flames. The only trouble I have with this part of the theory is that where her car was found is not a road she would have been driving down, not to come home from work or not for any reason that anyone could think of. It was a side street, and there didn't seem to be any logical explanation for her car being found there. Now, right after Kelly Sue disappeared, according to her file, it was noted that authorities first believed that she was having an extramarital affair, and that was the reason for Kelly Sue's disappearance, that she had likely run off with another man to start a fresh life somewhere else. But leave her daughter behind? That does seem very unlikely. So what do you think happened to Kelly Sue Ackernight back in the fall of 2008? Kelly Sue Ackernight was last seen on September 30th, 2008. She was 35 years old. She is described as a Caucasian female, 5'10" tall, and weighing around 135 pounds when she disappeared. She has brown hair, she usually wore short, and she has brown eyes. She wears eyeglasses, and the eyeglasses she had at the time had tan frames. She was wearing a black shirt, tan slacks with a black patch on the back, a Rite Aid apron, new pink and white size 8 sneakers, earrings, 2 necklaces with 3 diamonds on each, a watch with a black strap, and a wedding band on her left hand. She was carrying a black purse that is also missing. If you have any information on the whereabouts of Kelly Sue Ackernight, please contact the Johnstown Police Department at 518-736-4020. Thank you for listening to Kelly Sue's story today. Let's keep sharing and doing what we can to help bring awareness to her case. Someone out there might have all the answers, or even some of the answers, and they might not even know it. Take any information that you might have, big or small, and contact the Johnstown Police Department. I do want to give a shout out to the main sources used in telling Kelly Sue's story today. If you'd like to do more digging yourself, thank you to News Channel 13, WNYT, The Charlie Project, The Rich Giardini Show, CBS 6 Albany, Times Union, and NamUs, also known as the National Missing and Unidentified Persons Database. If you've made it this far into the podcast, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. This helps tremendously and is free to do. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it and how much exposure it helps bring to these cases. If you'd like to support the show further, you can join us over on Patreon. Our Patreon is where you'll find ad-free episodes, bonus episodes, and all the money raised over there helps us pay it forward to the families of the missing or to the organizations that help support the families. Every little bit helps and adds up, and I appreciate all of our supporters over on Patreon. As a reminder, make sure you're following us over on the socials. I do try to bring case updates over there first when we have them. We did recently have a great update in a case, which I am so happy to share. Trevor Nichols has been found alive and well and has been reunited with his family after missing for 8 years. We covered Trevor's case a couple of years ago. It was first part of a special on missing military veterans in America, and I'm so happy to have such a great ending for his story. These are the type of updates we love to see, and we will always share them over on our socials first. You can find the Where Are They podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Those links will be in the show notes. Lastly, if you have any case suggestions or feedback for us, or perhaps some additional insight on any of the cases that we've already covered, please reach out to me via the socials anytime, or email me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. Once again, thank you so much for listening to Kelly Sue's story today. I'm hopeful we will have answers soon, and I'm definitely reassured knowing that authorities are still working the case, knowing that they have just executed a search warrant in her case January of this year, January of 2025. Kelly Sue's daughter and her extended family need answers. They deserve answers. And if something nefarious happened to Kelly Sue out there, Kelly Sue deserves justice. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons story. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.